thank you very much to Pastor Sonny and everyone else who has given me the opportunity to speak here. I love everybody, and I'm so glad to be here. I got to learn a song in Malayalam, although my voice is not good right now, so I'm sure I was singing off-key some of the time, so I'm sorry about that. But I'm excited because we're going to learn some about the Holy Spirit tonight. Especially, we're going to talk a little bit about spiritual gifts and speaking in tongues. We've talked a little bit about it already the past few days. So to go over, I hope everybody has Bibles, because we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you don't have a Bible, you can put yourself close to people who do have Bibles, and you can read with them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, yesterday, we heard a bit about when the church first got the Holy Spirit, and everybody was like really surprised, and people who didn't believe in Jesus yet didn't know what was going on. They're like, whoa, these people are weird. They're speaking in all these different languages. And we saw that was one version of the gift of tongues that they got. So today we're going to look at another version of the gift of tongues. But one gift of speaking in tongues is when God gives people the ability to speak a language that they never learned. So for me, if all of a sudden I went to Brazil and started speaking in Portuguese, then everybody would be like, oh, wow. And I would be like, oh, wow, this is awesome. And people would hear me speaking in Portuguese. Or tonight, I could be given the gift and I could start speaking perfect Malayalam. I am perfectly happy with that gift. I would be really happy if I could leave tonight and speak perfect Malayalam. That would rock. Because right now my Malayalam is really, really bad. And so we saw that all those people saw that there was something happening in the church that made it different. Everybody looked and they're like, oh, these people are speaking languages that they never should know. They're all from the same small towns up in the northern part of the country, and they're speaking languages from all over the world. And so we saw that there was this amazing work of God. And today, we're going to look more about how the Holy Spirit gives different gifts. We're going to look at speaking in tongues a little bit especially, but in all, we're going to look just in how He gives gifts. Because speaking in tongues is just one of the many, 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 many gifts that the Holy Spirit can give. It's like your parents, have you ever gotten presents from your parents, like for birthdays or Christmas or whatever? Yeah, yeah. What kinds of things did they give you? This is your opportunity to talk, so use it. What, they gave you a bike? A bike is a good present. I like a bike. What other kind of gifts have your parents given you?
Clothes.
Clothes are great gifts. Everybody is thankful that parents give clothes. What other kind of gifts? Gifts. What about you? What'd you get?
Friends.
You forgot? Okay, but you got something, right? Yeah, okay.
Toys?
A dress.
Okay.
A dress?
Yes.
I got Legos sometimes. I got different toys. I got clothes. Shoes. I'm very thankful for shoes. For my birthday, they gave me flip-flops. So I need those, right? We've all gotten lots of good gifts from our parents, right? We've gotten lots of gifts. Do you get the same gift from your parent every single time? Like, do your parents buy 50 sets of pants to give you for the rest of your life? No, they don't. They give you different things. And they give you things that you need, and that'll be a blessing to you and to everybody else. And in the same way, God gives us lots of different kinds of gifts by the Holy Spirit working in our life. And we're going to learn a little bit more about that. Okay? So if you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to read the whole chapter. So you're going to have to help me and follow along. Okay? Ready? Is everybody there? 1 Corinthians chapter 12? Good. Okay. Now, about matters of the Spirit, brothers, I don't want you to be unaware. You know how when you were pagans, you were led to dumb idols, led astray. Therefore, I am informing you so that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So one of the ways you can know whether somebody has the gift of the Spirit is whether they have the Spirit at all. Right? So if somebody comes in and they start cussing at Jesus, they probably don't have the Holy Spirit ever. Definitely not. People who have the Spirit of God in them come and say, Jesus rocks! He is king over the world, right? That's the kind of thing that real Christians, that people filled with the Spirit say. They don't come in and curse at Jesus. So when you walk by or the somebody in the street and they're saying something nasty about Jesus, even if they are doing these amazing miracles and they're like, see, I can do all these powerful things, but they're saying bad things against Jesus, you know those things that they're doing don't come from the Holy Spirit. And it is really easy for people to get led astray. And that's why he's telling us. So now he says, now, look, there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God is active in everyone and in everything. He acts all things in all things. Now, a manifestation, do you know what a manifestation is? That's when something shows that the Spirit is, a manifestation of the Spirit is when you can tell that the Spirit is in somebody's life. It's something that's being done by them or in them or through them that you can say, oh, wow, that person, that's God doing it in them, right? And so he says that a manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person to produce what is beneficial. So what happens is God gives every true Christian something in their life to show that the Spirit really is in their life. And not just to just show that the Spirit is in their life and make them happy and make other people happy that they're saved, but to show that and to do something really beneficial. To do something that's good for you and you and you and you and me and everybody else and all the Christians in the whole world. Like when the Holy Spirit gives somebody a gift, he doesn't just think, oh, this will make them feel better. He thinks, oh, this will help them know that they're a real Christian. It'll help everybody else know that they're a real Christian. And it'll help all the Christians around them. It'll help even the Christians that they'll never meet, because that's how awesome God is at planning things out. So this is what he says. To one person, these are the kinds of gifts. All right, so listen. You're like, what kinds of things can the Holy Spirit give? Let's see. Verse 8, he says, to one is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, a message of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. By the one Spirit, to another, performing acts of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits. Remember at the beginning, there's spirits who will come and they'll say bad things about Jesus, who will help people do things that look impressive, but that aren't really from God. And then there's other spirits, there's another Spirit, one Spirit, who will empower us to live for Jesus and to glorify Jesus. And one of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives is to be able to tell the difference between whether somebody is coming filled with the Holy Spirit or filled with an evil spirit. That's a gift. Then he says to somebody else, different kinds of languages, and to another, interpretation of languages. So, or you could say different kinds of tongues, or and the interpretation of tongues. So those are some gifts. So when it says different kinds of languages, sometimes that might mean somebody comes and they're like unable to speak Spanish, and then all of a sudden they start speaking Spanish, perfect Spanish, and all the people who hear them are like, where'd you learn Spanish? You sound so good. You don't look very Spanish. And then you're like, I don't know. It just happened, man. It just happened. And then the Holy Spirit will be clearly shown to them. But then other times, apparently, people can get the interpretation of languages. So maybe you go somewhere, you go to another country, and you don't speak Spanish, and you've never heard Spanish before, and you've never studied Spanish, but you get there, and then all of a sudden, you can understand Spanish, and you can tell other people what it is. But there's another kind of languages that the Holy Spirit gives. And this is what Paul is going to talk about in chapter 14. We'll touch on that in a little bit. But another kind of language is like sometimes you'll hear people praying and they'll be saying something and it'll sound like gibberish. And it's like blah, 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 something like that. And you're like, I have no clue what they just said. But that actually is a language that God gives people. And it's one of the gifts that God can give them. So the Holy Spirit can give two kinds of gifts of languages. The one gift we learned about yesterday where they can speak languages that they don't know. And then today, this is also talking about speaking languages that nobody could ever know because they're like different, very different. And then the interpretation of those languages is also a gift. So have you ever heard somebody speak in tongues and you have no clue what they're saying? It sounds like it's a completely weird language. You've never, like, there's like nobody can interpret that language, right? I've heard it many, many times. And you know what? That's a gift from the Holy Spirit that he gives. But the awesome thing is, since the Holy Spirit gave the language, he also knows what that language means. Even if that person doesn't know what the language means, the Holy Spirit does. And so somebody else could have the gift of being able to explain whatever that was. You're like, nobody can explain what blah, 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 blah is. But the Holy Spirit can, because he gave that. He did. And so those are some gifts that the Holy Spirit can give. But did you notice after every gift, it said one and the same Spirit. This, the Spirit, one Spirit, same Spirit, 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 Spirit. Like, do you know how many times Spirit was mentioned? One, let's count. Verse 8, one time, two times in verse 8, one time, two times verse 9, one time in verse 11, right? One and the same Spirit works in all of these things, distributing to each person as he wants. So why do some people get to speak in tongues and other people get to give prophecies or other people get to give healings or other people get to administer the church? Because that's actually another gift that we'll get to later that he's going to talk about at the end of the chapter. Why do some people get different gifts and other people get other gifts? Why does that happen? Because the Spirit knows what he had planned to do and what he wants to do. So for me, he may not give me one gift, but he gives me a different gift. Everybody, it says, to each person. So that means each and every one of you, if you really believe in Jesus and have a real relationship with God, and you really have the Holy Spirit in your life, you have a gift, a special ability. It's kind of like your own superpower. That's the best way to think of it, right? It's like everybody here is like made and given their own unique superpower that the Holy Spirit lets you do. So it's like, okay, so none of us are going to get the superpower of walking on or like the ceiling or something, because that's not a great superpower. You know, it's like Spider-Man is a great movie, but it doesn't actually, it's not that helpful in real life. You know, that's not what God wants us to be able to do. That's not going to help the church. When is it going to help to walk on the ceiling in a church service? Never. It's never going to help, ever. So God gives, remember at the beginning, he said he gives gifts that are good for the whole group of Christians. All of us. He gives them to all of us. And he gives them like he wants. So me, he gave me the ability to preach. Not everybody gets the gift of preaching. Not everybody gets the gift of prophecy. Not everybody gets the gift of being able to speak a language they don't know. Not everybody gets a gift of being able to speak in tongues, the kinds of languages that nobody could ever know because they're from God. Not everybody gets those gifts. Not everybody gets the gifts of being really being able to heal other people. Not everybody gets those gifts. There's some people in the world, they can go and you can be sick and they can touch you. And then boom, you're healed. No more strep throats. I mean, other people, they get the gift of healing and God has the power and they can raise dead people. I can't raise dead people. I can't go into the hospital. I mean, maybe God will give me that gift in the future. But right now, I don't think I have the power, the gift of going into hospitals all around the morgue and raising all the dead people to life. God has a purpose and a plan to give everybody different kinds of gifts for different times and different seasons. And it's not just about whether people believe that they can do it. Because he says the gift of faith is one of the gifts. Some people get a different gift. They get the act of the ability to do miracles. Some people can probably do crazy things that you didn't think people could do, but the Holy Spirit empowers them to do it. And if you, even here in America, not just over somewhere else in other parts of the world, does God heal people. It's not just over there that somewhere else that God can do something amazing through you. There's a lot of different things that God can give. And he gives it just like he wants. But see, the temptation is, do you know what happens when God gives us like our own unique superpower? You know what happens? We get cocky and proud. That's our temptation. God gives us a gift and we're like, the world needs me. Everyone should have my gift. Everyone. So maybe your gift is showing hospitality. Maybe you are given the gift of making people feel welcome, really welcome, like super welcome. Like that's one of the gifts. Like some people, they're really good. They meet you 5 minutes. You're like, we're best friends, right? I'm not one of those people. I try to be, but that's not my strong suit. But some of you here, you probably can make people feel like you're their best friend after 5 minutes and just welcome them. And God gives those gifts. But if I said, everybody needs to be feeling welcome after 5 minutes, everyone needs that gift, everyone. But nobody needs the gift of taking out the trash. Nobody. Nobody needs that gift. You know how smelly our churches would be? They would be really stinky. Everybody would feel really welcome and really sick. They'd be like, oh, I love you, but stay. I have to go outside. That's an important spiritual gift too. People who serve. What if somebody says, you know what? My spiritual gift is leading songs. Everybody should be able to lead a song. Nobody should do anything else. Then who's going to do the preaching? You're going to come in, you're going to sing for like 3 hours, and then you're going to go home. But nobody will tell you what the Bible means, and you'll be stuck at home. And if you have a question, you won't know what the answer is. And so the temptation is to say, everybody has to be like me. But see, the problem is, the church is not like that. The church is like a body. And this is what Paul is going to explain. He says, for just like the body is one body. How many bodies do you have? How many bodies do you have? One. You have one body. How many parts are there in the body? Well, there's like 206 bones. There's 300 some muscles. You have stuff that don't even include in those things. You've got hearts. You've got lungs. You've got brains. You've got all these different parts. You've got intestines, two different kinds of intestines. You've got all, there are billions of tiny little cells in your body. Billions, right? But there's only one body. There's only one Pastor Sonny, right? There's only one Pastor Anthony. There's only one of all of us. And all the parts of the body, though there are a lot of them, there's still only one body. So it's the same with the Messiah. And you're like, what? What do you mean, Messiah? So now he's going to explain. We were all baptized by one Spirit into the one body, whether we were Jews or Greeks, or in this case, whether you were Malayalam or white, right? We all are part of the body of Christ. We're all in the same family. We're all connected. Whether we were slaves or free, all of us here, thankfully, are free. But if there were slaves here, they would still count as Christians. So the body is not one part, but many parts. And if the foot said, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body. Or, in spite of the fact that it does still belong to the body. And what if the ear said, because I'm not an eye. I don't belong to the body. Even though it still belongs to the body, doesn't it? It does. What if only all of our body parts were eyes? What if we were just like one giant eye? And that's all our body was. Just one giant eye. Or a billion eyes. Looking, right? What if that was our body? Would you be able to hear anything? No. You'd be bad. You know why? Because what if you closed one of your eyes and you turned your back and you didn't hear the car coming? Boom. Yeah. Then you wanted the sense of hearing, didn't you? Yes. Yes, you did. But what if everybody was an ear? What if all you could do was hear stuff? And you got so good at hearing stuff, you could avoid things. But wait, you wouldn't be able to smell anything. So that means you would step in poop all the time. All the time. Or you would never know if someplace was clean. You'd go into their room, you'd be like, oh, this is good. But you wouldn't know that there's like this dead animal underneath their bed, because all you could do is hear stuff. And dead things don't make sounds. So, the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. Can you see this? The eye says, I don't need you, hand, I can see. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you, I don't need you. On the contrary, all the more, those parts that in the body that seem to be weaker are necessary. Is your heart fragile? How fragile is your heart? It's really fragile. If somebody punches your heart, that's bad news. Your heart, even if it just gets a little bit clogged, it like freaks out and dies, right? It is very weak. But can you live without a heart? You can't. And those parts of the body that we think are less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And the unpresentable parts have a better presentation. So I don't wear gloves all the time because my hands are not like unpresentable. They're hands. This is a part of the body God made to show off. Right? Everybody can see my hands. People can see my face. That's okay. Right? I know some people think that they're ugly, but they don't need to wear a bag over their head. Nobody is that ugly. Right? God has made everybody beautiful so that they can see their face.
Amen.
But there are some parts of the body that we are very happy right now. Everybody has clothed. Right? Everybody has clothed. And we wear clothes over those parts of the body because they're supposed to be clothed. Right? And God made it that way. So we treat those parts like they're extra special because they are extra special. I don't have to do anything special to my hands, but there's other parts of my body I cover up. Like I'm wearing a shirt right now, so you're not looking at my bare chest with all the hair, right? Yeah, we're covering it up, extra special. And there's other parts of the body that are like that. But the presentable parts don't need clothes, right? My hands don't need clothes. My chest needs clothes. My feet don't need clothes. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, that the members would have the same concern for each other. So Paul's not really talking about body parts. He's talking about Christians. There are some Christians we think are more important for people to see and who can be seen really easily. But then there's other Christians, they work really hard and you never knew that they worked hard. When there's some gifts that God gives to people that are so special that they are treated with extra honor, and the temptation is to be like, that part isn't important. That part I don't need to treat like it's really special. The only part that's special is this one gift. Only this gift is important. But the other gifts, they're not really important. I don't need to treat any of the other gifts special. But that's not how God made spiritual gifts. That's not how the Spirit gives each of us a gift. He gives it because it's special and it's important for the whole body. And that includes speaking in tongues. That's what he does. And he does it so that we would care about each other. You know why people have different gifts? So that Christians will see how important all the other Christians are.
Amen.
That's why we're different. That's why I have a gift of preaching and you might have a different gift. And one of you may have a gift of singing and somebody else doesn't. That's why one person may be the person who cooks for everything. And that's a spiritual gift. And somebody else can't cook even if they wanted to. But they're really good at handling money. Those are different gifts. And God put those gifts in on and among all the Christians so that the Christians would say, I'm so glad that person is here because they can cook. And then the person who cooks says, I'm so glad that person is here because they make sure we're not poor so I have money to cook.
Amen.
Yeah, they're both really important. Or you say, I'm so glad we have that person who speaks in tongues because we get encouraged when we hear the Spirit working in that person's life and speaking to us, right? But then we're also happy, oh, we have a teacher who explains the Bible to us. Or, oh, I'm so thankful that we don't just hear somebody speaking in a language we don't know. We have somebody who can interpret. All those gifts are really, really important.
Amen.
Now, you, all of us here are the body of Christ.
Amen.
An individual and a little part of it. The truth of the matter is, Paul says, look, you are the body of Christ. You're parts of Christ's body. But you know what? You're just one part. This church is just one part of Christ's body. There are a lot of other parts, a lot of other churches in the world, and they're part of Jesus's body too.
Yes.
So we don't say, oh yes, only our church is a true church. All the other churches, nope. Those aren't really part of Jesus. No, that's not how Christians are supposed to treat other churches. There are churches that are not part of Jesus' body. And remember at the beginning when it says some people curse at Jesus, they say bad things towards Jesus. You can tell whether a church is really part of Jesus because they will say nice things about the Spirit and the Holy Spirit will be there. And anybody who says anything against Jesus, anybody who puts Jesus down, you can tell that's not really a true church. Anything that makes Jesus less important, no. But now he's like, look, God has placed these people, he's placed us in the church. He placed apostles. Those are the people who met Jesus and spoke for Jesus and started the church. And he gave prophets. Those are people who speak special messages from God. He gave teachers who are good at explaining what we're supposed to believe and helping us grow as Christians, like pastors. Then he gave miracles, and then gifts of healing, then helping, right? We need people who help. We need people who do the PowerPoints for us. We need people who vacuum the carpets, who set up the chairs. We need people like that. And managing, administration. People who make sure the church runs well, who set up the whole thing, like who set up the VBS, like all the people who helped make sure that this happened, who organized everything, those people, that's a spiritual gift. God gave us those people so this could happen. If we didn't have the gift of governing in the church, this wouldn't happen. Nothing would happen. It would just be chaos all the time. And various kinds of languages, different kinds of speaking in tongues. So we have some people who can speak languages that nobody could ever know because they're from God, and then other people who speak languages who people could know, like Spanish or Portuguese or Malayalam or Korean or whatever. But then the question is, do everybody have the same thing?
No.
He says, is everybody an apostle? No. No, not everybody. You're like, but it's a question. But the question has a no answer. All of these questions have a no answer. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? I want to hear it. No. Do all do miracles? Do all people do miracles? No. Do all have the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak in tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. But, he says, desire the greater gifts. Work hard to get them. Like what he says is, all these spiritual gifts are really good. You can go after all of them. And you don't have to be like, oh, well, I just want this little thing and I don't need to want anything else. If you have another spiritual gift, you think it's good and you want it, go for it. Ask God for it. Seek God for it. There's nothing wrong with getting more gifts from the Holy Spirit. When it's your birthday, you don't say, no, please don't give me anything else. I don't want anything. Christmas, you're like, no, don't give me anything. Special occasions, you're like, I don't want anything else. Don't give me stuff, right? No, nobody says that. They're like, I could use this and I could use that. And you can ask God for it. But then he says, and I will show you a better way. And we're not going to go into it, but the better way that he's talking about, which he was trying to deal with here, is the way of love.
Amen.
When God gives us different gifts, he wants us to use them with love. So I preach to you because I love you. That's why I'm preaching to you. Not just so I can stand in front and have people look at me. If I stood up here and that was the only reason I preach, that's not real preaching because it's not coming from love. It's not coming from the Spirit. Some people, they can sing, but if it doesn't come from love, it doesn't matter what worship songs. It doesn't matter if they play the guitar better than anyone in the world. That's not a spiritual gift if it's not coming from love. Some people can speak in tongues, but if they're not speaking in tongues out of love for other people, out of love for God, it's not real speaking in tongues. The thing is, you can use the gifts and the abilities that God gives you for evil and not just good. And when you're doing that, you're not using them with the Holy Spirit. You're using them against him. And later in chapter 14, he explains that the people there weren't speaking in tongues in a loving way. They used speaking in tongues to make themselves look important. But sometimes people think, oh, that's what all the people who think you can speak in tongues do. They just try to make themselves look important. But that's not really true. The truth is, those people who say things like that just think that teaching or some other gift is what is really important. And they say that gift isn't important. They do the opposite thing. But it's the same sin of not valuing all the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. And God has given each of you, an amazing, amazing gift. It's in a gift that he wants to use for great things. Jesus actually said in John when he was leaving that you would do even greater things than I did. Do you know? Jesus said you can do better stuff than him. Do you realize that? Like imagine what that, like he fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread, right? Like that's insane. You can do bigger. You can do better. Jesus started a movement that swept the entire globe. You can do even more. He discipled 12 guys really big, really hardcore. You can disciple more people. You can do even bigger things than that because the Holy Spirit is in you and he's given you a gift.
Amen.
It might not mean this gift or it might not mean that gift, but it is some gift and that gift is awesome. And if anyone says, I don't like your spiritual gift and I don't think you can use it and it shouldn't be in the church, that's a lie. That's not from God. The Holy Spirit has given you that gift and you should use it. Somebody, you really have the gift of speaking in tongues, use it. Use it well. And you can read chapter 14 in Corinthians to find out how you're supposed to use the gift of speaking in tongues and the gift of prophecy. But what I want you to know is that all the Holy Spirit gives to all of us is good gifts that are good for everyone.
Amen.
And we can worship Him, and we can trust Him, and we can live by Him by doing and embracing all the gifts that He's given us and seeking even more of them. So let us pray, and then we will go out and we'll start using our gifts. Holy Spirit, we pray to You in Jesus' name tonight, because we're talking all about You, because You're our awesome God. I thank You because You've given people gifts in this room that the world needs and that they need. Lord, You have given us, Holy Spirit, You've given us awesome things to glorify You with, to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ with. And I pray that right now we scream with all of our hearts, with all that You are saying within us, that Jesus is Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, and there is none like Him. Lord God, I pray that the gifts that You've given this church, that You've given all the churches in Jesus Christ, would bless one another. I pray that we would be humble and value everybody for all the things that You have made us to do. Thank You for giving us the ability to speak in tongues, giving us the ability to prophesy, giving us the ability to preach, giving us the ability to administer, giving us the ability to take care of other people, giving us the ability to understand what's being said when somebody speaks in tongues. Thank You for giving us all kinds of gifts. And we thank You because You give so many kinds of gifts that even the gifts that You tell us You give us in the scripture aren't the only gifts that You give. You have so many gifts. And You have so many people in this room, Lord God, that You are ready and excited to use. And I thank You for that. And I just pray that we would live by You, Holy Spirit, not by our own strength and not just doing our natural abilities, but that we would embrace the gifts that You have given us, and that we would use them with love. Lord God, You know it's hard, Abba Father, You know it's hard sometimes to use our gifts with love and to think that other gifts are important, because we are so excited about the gifts that You gave us. We're like, man, this gift is awesome. But Lord God, help us to remember that as awesome as our gift is, it's just as important as another gift. And help us to be thankful for the gifts You've given everyone else, as well as the gifts that You've given us. We love You. We thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Another class is, couldn't we disperse?